Good evening. Good to see each and every one of you again this evening. Especially again, if we have visitors, we are thankful that you are here. We ask that if you would fill out a yellow visitor's card so that we would have a record of your visit with us. I thank Robert for the song, because that's what the lesson is about tonight. A wonderful Savior. Wonderful, wonderful Savior. Again tonight, this lesson was made when I had a New King James Version. So most of the scriptures will be from the New King James, but you'll still be able to follow along. Our scripture text tonight comes from Isaiah 9, verse number 6. Isaiah 9, verse number 6. It reads, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Everything about Jesus is wonderful, isn't it? In Matthew chapter 21, verses 15 and 16, we find these words, "And when the chief priest and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise?" The chief priests and the scribes were displeased at the authority he assumed over the temple, and the acclamation of approval with the cries of the children and the evident favor of the people. A wonderful Savior, Jesus my Lord. We should all love to sing, "A wonderful Savior, Jesus my Lord." It was beautiful. So, what do we affirm in the song? What does the song say to us? "He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock. He hides my life in the depth of his love. He covers me there with his hand. He takes my burden away. He holds me up. He gives me strength as my day. With numberless blessings, each moment he crowns. We will rise to meet him in the clouds." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18 read like this: "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." A wonderful Savior. He's wonderful in his pre-existence. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." The first verses of John chapter 1 are introductory. In order to set at rest all controversy concerning the divine nature of Jesus, John goes in the first verses back to the beginning, recorded in Genesis, and he affirms that he who was afterwards manifest as the Christ existed before creation began. In Genesis 1, verse number 11, it says, "And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit trees that yields fruit, according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so." He also said that he was present with God, that he was divine, that he was the Word, and that by or through him were all things made that were made. So the first chapter of Genesis helps us to understand its meaning. God said, "Let there be light." Chapter 1, verse 3. In 1:6, he said, "Let there be a firmament. Let the earth bring forth." And it was done. God exhibits his creative power through the Word, and also manifests his will through the Word. There are mysteries belonging to the divine nature and to the revelation between the Son and the Father that we have to wait for eternity to solve. They are too deep for human solutions. But this is clear, that God creates and speaks to man through the Word. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Our Savior is wonderful in his birth. We find in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse number 14. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," meaning God with us. We read in Matthew, chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, God with us. Wonderful in his perfect life. Our Savior has a perfect life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are." In 1 Peter chapter 2, 22 and 23, Peter writes, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 5, "And ye know that he was manifested to take our sins, and in him is no sin." Manifested to take away our sin. He was tempted, but he had no sin. You remember in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, when the devil came to him to tempt him, beginning with verse number 3. "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That wasn't good enough for the devil, so he did it one more time. And then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angel charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written, Again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Verse number 11 says, Then the devil left. Then the devil leaveth him. Wouldn't it be nice if the devil would leave us? Would leave us alone? But that's not going to happen. He's always going to be. We need to follow in the steps of our wonderful Savior. He is wonderful in doctrine and truth. John 14, verse number 6, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He also states in John 8, 32, Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We read from Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teachings. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Jesus had great authority. He had all authority. Our Savior is wonderful in his sacrifice. He made the sacrifice for you and for me. We read from Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. He is so wonderful that we can have the forgiveness of our sins. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, Peter writes, Know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's the only way it could have been done. Without blemish and without spot. Perfect. He is wonderful in his resurrection. If you would, turn to 1 Corinthians 15. We'll look at verses 12 through 20. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witness of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ or perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. In these verses, Paul gives six dangerous consequences if there were no resurrection. Preaching Christ would be senseless, verse 14. Faith in Christ would be useless, verse 14. All the witnesses and preachers of the resurrection would be liars. Verse 15. No one would be redeemed from sin. 17. All former believers would have perished. Verse 18. Christians would be the most pitiable people on earth. 19. This is because of the sacrifices made in this life in light of the hope of life to come. If there is no life to come, we would be better to eat, drink, and be merry before we die. He is wonderful in his scheme of redemption. You can go to the book of Acts, chapter 2, where the first gospel sermon was preached, beginning with about verse 14. And you can find that scheme of redemption. You can find out how you can be saved. It was the same way that the people on the day of Pentecost were saved. Nothing's changed. It's the same. People change the way today, but not God's word. He is wonderful in his forgiveness. And for this, we'll go to Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Forgiveness. You, I, all mankind can be forgiven. He is wonderful in his love. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still in sin, while we were still being our old self, Christ had enough love to go around the whole world and die for all mankind. And God's love for his own is unwavering because it is not based on how lovable we are, but on the consistency of his own character. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is unchanging. God's supreme act of love came when we were at our most undesirable. A righteous man, a good man. Paul's point is that we were neither of these, yet Christ sacrificed himself for us. We were neither righteous, we were neither good. He did it anyway. He is wonderful in his grace. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, This does not teach universal salvation. Jesus Christ made a significant sacrifice to cover every sin of everyone who believes. John 3:16, he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cruel cross of Calvary for all mankind. He is wonderful in his promise to come again. John 14, verse 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. If ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We see by that verse alone, he's coming again. Turn over with me today, Acts chapter 1. We'll look at verses 9 through 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He's coming again. We don't know when, but he's coming again. First Thessalonians 4:17-18 again. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He is wonderful because he wants to be your Savior too. Tonight, if you want Jesus to be your wonderful Savior, all you need to do is be obedient to his will. We mentioned Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. About 3,000 were obedient to his will. What Peter told him in Acts 2:38, they believed. Were baptized for remission of sins. They became children of God. Start new, a new life. These are the conditions that have been set forth for anyone who wants to obey the gospel. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And isn't it a wonderful thing that Jesus doesn't press that on anyone? He wishes that everyone would do it. But he gives us the choice. And he has told us, if you obey and you're faithful to death, Revelation 2:10, there'll be a crown of life. And he's also told us, if we fail to obey, if we keep living the same way, we'll be in a devil's hell for eternity. Wonderful Savior, Jesus my Lord. Tonight, are you ready to make him your wonderful Savior? If you are, we ask that you come as we stand and sing.